Good morning, church family. It's good to be together once again this morning. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, as we look at the theme this morning of rest for the people of God. I believe that God is going to, in the next few moments, He's going to assure you that He is with you, that He's for you, and that you do not have to carry the weight and the load of life alone, which can be crushing, but rather He has called His people to a life of rest, resting in Him. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, although God's promise still stands, His promise that all may enter His place of rest, we ought to tremble with fear, because some of you may be on the verge of failing to get there after all. I think we should pause for a moment and just think about that. There's a warning here that the writer of the book of Hebrews gives us. He said, if you're not careful, you will miss out, just like the disobedient, unbelieving Israelites did. I have a rest for you. But in order to receive that rest, there are some steps that need to be taken. For this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us has been given to us just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. For only we who believe God can enter into His place of rest. He has said, I have sworn in my anger that those who do not believe me will never get in, even though He has been ready and waiting for them since the world begun. We know He is ready and waiting because it is written that God resteth on the seventh day of creation, having finished all that He planned to make. Even so, they didn't get in. For God finally said, they shall never enter my rest. Yet the promise remains, and some get in, but those who had the first chance, but not those who had the first chance, for they disobeyed God and failed to enter. But He has another time for coming in, and that time is now. He announced this through King David long years after man's first failure to enter, saying in the words already quoted, today when you hear Him calling, do not harden your hearts against Him. This new place of rest He is talking about does not mean the land of Israel that Joshua led them into. If that were what God meant, He would not have spoken long afterwards about today being the time to get in. Look at verse 9 now. So there is a full, complete rest still waiting for the people of God. Look at verse 9 one more time there as we repeat it. So there is a full, complete rest still waiting for the people of God. That word rest, as you read it in Scripture, here's what it means. It means to be refreshed, body, soul, and spirit. It means to be free from anxiety, from worry, and from tension. Verse 9 speaks of a total rest, which God Himself and only God is the source thereof. You see, ultimately, this rest speaks of heaven itself, that one day He has a heaven rest for all of us, whereby we will no longer be tempted, tested, or go through the trials that we all know to be part of life here on this earth. On hard days, I've often quipped to my wife and family that when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hang out a sign, do not disturb, on my mansion door, and I'm going to sleep for the first 1,000 years. We find ourselves this morning living in a world of tension, and a time of extreme pressure. Pressure so extreme that many are falling apart at the seams. Medical field reports that stress-related diseases are at an all-time high. Job pressures and layoffs, virtual education, schedules have been turned upside down. Financial pressures, health concerns, safety issues, our streets have become war zones. Friends, I'm so glad in the midst of all of this craziness, God has promised a rest. Look at it in verse 9 again. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 from the King James, the Authorized Version. There remaineth therefore a rest. Church, I want you to know this morning, when nothing else remains and all is shaken, there still remains a rest to the people of God. It was Jesus himself that said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He said, I want to assure you that as you walk through life and as you live out your daily lives during times of stress and duress, know this, you do not have to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And the reason why you do not have to be concerned like those that surround you in daily life, that you go to jobs with, next door neighbors, other family members, or whoever it may be, is because you believe in God. And Jesus said, believe also in me. Now some ask the question, how can you be at rest and how can you have peace in your heart when you know what's going on round about you today? Friends, I believe that is exactly why we as Christians can be at peace. You see, as believers, we know what is happening now and we also know what's going to happen next. And we know that in this entire process, God has a plan. He's working his plan. And the Bible says the plans he has for us is for a hope and for a future. And our God, that is a good God, has good plans for his people in this season. So this morning, for the next few moments, what I want to do is I want to share with you the unshakable rest that God alone has to offer. First of all, I want to talk about spiritual rest. When we are spiritually at rest, it gives the basis for all other forms of rest in our lives. You see, the Bible tells us that God designed man as a trichotomy. Tri meaning three, chotomy is part. So there's three parts. We're comprised of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is the physical, the soul is the emotional, that's the thinking part of man, and the spirit is the eternal that lives within us, that will live on forever and will either live with God in heaven forever or separate from God in hell forever. And so we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And what happens in one dimension, I assure you, affects the others. What's happening in your soul affects your mind, the rest of your being, and your physical and your spiritual being as well. And what happens spiritually, happens in your spirit, affects your mind, and it affects your body. He is always at work, changing and working things together for ultimate good. And so he does so in all three components of our being, which is a trichotomy, meaning a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, it's important this morning that we understand that we're comprised then of these three components if we're going to enjoy God's complete rest. Far too many want to enjoy physical and emotional rest without giving any thought at all to the spiritual dimension of their being. And so if you're mentally well and if you're physically well, but you're spiritually sick, one third of you is not up to par. And so it will begin to affect all the other parts of your being as well. And when it does, and you're not at rest spiritually, all the vacations in the world, all the pills, all the doctors and all the psychiatrists will never be able to impart to any individual any moment of rest. You see, only Jesus can give this kind of rest for our soul, our spirit. It was mankind, as you read through the scriptures, mankind was never designed to carry the heavy load of sin and its accompanying baggage and guilt. You know, along with sin always comes remorse, and along with that comes guilt, and comes a whole host of areas of baggage in our lives. And we find ourselves, the more we live in sin, the more we find this sin weighing us down and this sin affecting our daily lives. You see, you were created in the image and the likeness of God so that you could share both in fellowship with God and share in the rest that he has promised to those that are his people. If you're trying to find rest for your body, your soul, or your spirit this morning, I would encourage you in a few moments' time, we're going to give you an opportunity, come to Christ. It is Jesus himself that said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. Come, you're weary, you're burdened down, you're carrying this load. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find what? Rest for your souls, for your mind. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love hearing testimonies of those who have literally felt the load of sin fall off them when they've given their lives to Christ. I remember one Sunday night I was praying for those who were down here at the altar. There was a young guy that was bowing here at the altar, kneeling over here. And as I came down and I laid my hand on his shoulder and I began to pray for him, he turned his head and looked up, and I could see that there was a wince of pain. And so the first thing I thought of, did I just step on his fingers? Did I step on his toes? Why does he have this pain? Look. So I went on for the rest of the evening. But before he left, I said, I want to hear from you. Tell me, why was it that you had such a pain look? He said, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. He said, when I bowed down, as I was kneeling there, and as God began to release me from a life of sin and the load that I've been carrying, the guilt and all of this, he said, I felt it literally, I mean physically. He said, I felt this load fall off, land on the back of my legs, and it actually physically hurt. And he said, but it's gone. He said, I feel that weight no longer. It is gone. Jesus said, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're under this load, whether it's the load of sin or just the load of life. He said, I will give you rest. In Genesis chapter 8, it records the account of Noah sending out a raven and a dove following the flood. Now in Genesis chapter 8, this is very interesting. I want you to see the difference between the raven and the dove in this account. It says, after 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark, and he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water dried up from the earth. So he sent out the raven, and the raven never returned. Keep that in mind. We'll tell you why in a moment. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could not find anywhere to perch, because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So he returned to Noah in the ark. He, that is Noah, reached out his hand, took the dove, and brought him back to himself in the ark. Now the difference between a raven and a dove. A raven is a scavenger. They're quite satisfied living off from dead and decaying things. So now I want you to think about it. The window of the ark is opened, and Noah sends him out. And as he begins to leave the ark and he looks upon the waters, I can only imagine how many floating dead carcasses, both human and in animals, were floating on the water. And the raven, when the raven saw this death floating on the water, the first thing he thought, this is a buffet. This is old country buffet at its best. And he was out there just landing on one corpse, floating with the corpses, eating away. A raven loves to eat that which is dead and decaying. On my way to church, it was a week or two ago, and I came to the intersection of 13th and Willow. And I live just south of the church here, just 1 mile on Willow. And so I'm coming off from Willow, and right in front of me at the stop sign, there's a raven picking away at a squirrel that had been run over about 3-4 days ago. And he's out there just picking away at this thing, and he won't move for me. And so I'm honking the horn. He's looking up at me like, you go a different route. I'm here having lunch, and I'm not moving. And so the raven, when the raven left the ark, remember, the raven was just happy, satisfied, and even just thrilled with all this dead, decaying meat out there. And so it was a feast for him. Then he sent out the dove. And you'll realize that doves, by comparison, they were not designed to live off from dead and decaying flesh. So this dove flew back and forth, looking for a place, the Bible says, to perch, looking for anything green, anything, you know, that was herb, anything that was a leafy plant, anything that he might eat on that is fresh and new, but he could find nothing. And he circled back and forth, and he said, all I can see is this rotting flesh out here, and the raven is having a feast, but that's not my lifestyle. And so he returned back to the ark. He realized that what was out there, this dead and decaying world, was not the world he wanted to live in. And so he returned back to the ark. And what is interesting, the Bible says, Noah stretched his hand out. Now, whether it was face up or hand down, but nonetheless, it was a place for him to land. And he brought him into the ark. What an incredible picture of what God does for us. When we're sick and tired of the dead and decaying stuff that's round about us, and we're tired of trying to chew off from that which has been decaying for a long time, and we return back to the ark, it is Jesus Christ himself with his arm out saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, it simply says, so there is a full, complete rest waiting for the people of God. Did you notice there where it says, it is for the people of God. It uniquely belongs to those who have given their hearts, their lives to Christ. So secondly, let's talk about emotional rest for a moment. Friends, our world is snapping under its own stress. 85% of all the illnesses are said to be psychosomatic. Do they feel sick? Do they have all the symptoms? Absolutely. But 85%, according to medicine, is actually psychosomatic. Mental health centers and hospitals cannot build fast enough or large enough to, you know, somehow house a generation that's under such mental strain. Some are afraid to go to bed at night. Others are afraid to get up in the morning. Our day has produced a generation of depressed, weary, and paranoid people. And sadly, I find many Christians are also falling prey to the pressures of the day. Friends, I want to assure you this morning that God is still on his throne and that God has everything under control. He knows what is going on in planet Earth. And God is still concerned. He holds this planet in the palm of his hand. And as the song says, he holds you and me as well. Brother, sister, I want you to know we are in the hands of Almighty God. He has not abandoned this earth, and he has not drifted away and carelessly letting us go. Friends, God still has a plan. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Notice there, keep your mind on the things of God. Keep your minds fixed on him. And then he says, if you'll trust in him, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God Jehovah is everlasting strength. Friend, I want you to know, Hebrews 4 and verse 9 is absolutely true. So there is a full, complete rest still awaiting the people of God. A rest from fatigue, a rest from fear, a rest from worry, a rest from anxiety. Psalm 46, such a beautiful psalm. Matter of fact, when you read through the book of Psalms, you need to remember these were written originally as songs that were sung. It was the hymn book of the early church. And these declarations were the declarations of men and women of faith and what they had received from God, and they were singing these things. Here's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That is an earthquake. The word Selah. Notice the word Selah right after it. He said, though the earth is shaking, God is with us. Just stop and think about it. The word Selah means pause. It's a musical term. Pause and think about it. So he says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, just think about it. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, the word Selah. Stop and think about it. The Lord of hosts is with us. Think about it. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He says, just pause for a moment in the busyness of life. And some of these hymns or these songs are actually songs of ascent. They would sing them on their way up to Jerusalem to go there for, you know, worship and to go for high holidays. And so on the way, he said, just think about it. The Lord is with us. God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can run into him. Just pause and think about it. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he makes in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, which is instruments of warfare, and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Just pause and think about it for a moment. Thank God for emotional rest. In a time when the pressures of the day would cause many to go into depression, hopelessness, despair. But he says, I am with you. Thirdly, he gives us physical rest. You know, the frustration of the day is keeping millions awake at night. Insomnia is selling tons. I said that with a capital T. Tons of sleeping pills to Americans every single year. Friends, God never intended his children to spend long, frustrating days and sleepless nights. As a child of God, you should close your eyes in the evening and enjoy physical sleep. Friends, there is absolutely no reason to stay awake at night worrying and fretting. Matter of fact, all of our worrying and fretting at night, tossing and turning on our bed like a door on its hinges, back and forth, produces absolutely nothing other than weariness the next day. Psalm 121 and verse 4 says this, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. My mother, which lived to be 100 years of age, that was one of her favorite verses. She would always say to us as she would tuck us in at night as children, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. You can leave whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your heart, whatever has been left undone, you can leave it with him. God works all three shifts, morning shift, afternoon shift, evening shift. God works them all. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And our ultimate security when we go to bed at night is not in our alarm systems. It's not in the guns we possess. It's not in our pit bull we've got at the front door. Our homes and lives are protected by the Lord God himself. And we can lie down with absolute assurance that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. In Acts chapter 12, it records Peter in jail. James had just been beheaded. He'd been executed. And seeing that it pleased the crowd, they now have the same intentions for Peter. So Peter's arrested. He's placed in jail. And now it's the nighttime. And in the morning, likely he too is going to lose his head. But what is he doing? He is chained between two soldiers. There's no way of escape physically. And in that moment, what he is doing, he is simply trusting in God. And the Bible says he went to sleep. Friends, there is a time to be still and let God be God. You know, far too many Christians go around defeated all day because they didn't sleep all night. Matter of fact, what happened in the case of Peter, during the middle of the night, God miraculously sent an angel. The chains fell off, and he came out without harm of any kind. And he lived out his life until much later on. Ultimately, he was crucified upside down. Far too many Christians go around defeated, and they're defeated because they couldn't sleep a wink at night. Trust God. Let me encourage you today, trust God like Peter did. In Psalm 127 and verse 2, it says this, he grants sleep to those he loves. Another translation says, he gives rest to the righteous. The literal translation here is really interesting because when you first read that, at first glance, he grants sleep to those that he loves. That sounds rather simple. But if you look behind the scenes at the literal translation from the Hebrew, it says, while we're asleep, he's working on our behalf. So I want you to think, when you go to bed tonight, and there's a rush of thoughts about things that are upcoming in the week to come, or possibly you're living in one of the many areas of our city that has literally become a war zone, and to go to bed at night and to hear gunshots off in the distance and not so far distant, all of these things round about you, you're probably, you know, at a moment wanting to take all these things upon yourself and worry and fret throughout the night. But the Bible says while you're sleeping, he's working on your behalf. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, he's working on it right now. And he is working, the Bible says, all things together for our ultimate good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Things that you will never be able to straighten out. Things that have been some of your own doing and you wish that you could redo it all and you could erase it. And you wish that there was some kind of an eraser to erase the memories, not only of your own, but of all that were affected by your sin. You think, God, I wish you could just take it all away. While you're sleeping tonight, God's at work. And he does all things well. Last of all, there's a heavenly rest. You know, heaven's going to be a place of rest. It's not going to be a place merely to sleep. But it's going to be a place of rest. Rest from the craziness of the world. Rest from the evil one, the devil, the accuser. Rest from all temptation, for the tempter is gone. Rest from the very presence of sin that so surrounds us. As Christians, heaven is our permanent residence. We are strangers and foreigners for the moment here on this earth, and heaven is going to be a place that is restful. By comparison, friends, you need to know and understand that hell is going to be anything but a place of rest. What you have seen, the fires in the West, add to that the turmoil in our city streets. Add it all together, the flames, the hatred, the animosity, the burning, the corruption that we see in so many areas of life. You won't dare close your eyes for a moment in hell because that's going to be your home and that's going to be your next door neighbor forever. True rest is only possible from God. It's impossible from any other source. So there is a complete rest still awaiting the people of God. And until that time we come into our heaven rest, Isaiah chapter 40 tells us this, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friend, I want you to know God, while we're still on this planet, while we still are here, surrounded at times by trials and tribulation, he said, if you'll just wait on me, I'll give you the strength. And you're going to take and run and not be weary. He said, the young men with their natural strength, they will utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, regardless of their age. I want you to picture a guy that's 100 years old, and he's blowing right by a guy that's 17, strong, healthy, you know, just a picture of health. And he stumbles and falls, and the 100-year-old just comes right on by him. He said, that's the kind of strength I want to give you. That's the result of the rest I want to give you. The natural strength will fail, but what I give you will not. He wants to give you rest, spiritual rest, emotional rest, physical rest, and one day, heaven's rest on top of it all. Maybe this morning, you've been somewhat like the dove. See, God created you. He did not create you to be a raven. You cannot live, exist on dead and decaying things. And so you feel like you've been wandering about. And this tug of God, which is undeniable, you sense in your heart right now. Every person in this room, there's a sovereign call of God saying, will you come to my rest? Remember, that was the invitation he gave all the Israelites. Come into Canaan land. Come to this land. You've been slaves. You've been abused. You've been misused. Come into my rest. But they would not. Because this all boils down to coming into God's rest, all boils down to our acceptance of him by faith and his promise by faith. And some of you are saying, I'm weary. Man, I don't fit in this culture that surrounds me. I don't find, you know, what feeds and fills my soul. I don't find that. And so you look about and you see the ravens eating and chewing on dead and decaying culture and life. And you're saying, that's not for me. It's not for me. God created you to be a dove. And right now, at this very moment, Jesus has his hand outside the window of the ark. And you'll know it's him because of the nail prints in his hand. That's how much he loved you. And he's saying to you, come, come, come home. Come to rest. Come, I love you. In these next few moments, here's what we're going to do. I want to pray for those that you feel like you're under emotional duress and stress. And you feel like anxiety and worry and fret is at a level that it's never been at in your life. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for God's rest. Some of you have had sleepless nights. Along with COVID-19, one of the side effects of it all is emotional stress and even spiritual duress. And you've been unable to sleep at night. I want to pray for you. He has rest for you. And while you're resting tonight, he's working on what's keeping you awake. And I want to pray for those that are saying today, I'm tired of flying around trying to find a place to land, and all I find in the world is corruption. And it's all this, you know, dead and decaying meat. I want to come back home to the one that created me. And you'll sense, as this young man that was down here, you'll sense that heavy load lift and drop away as you give yourself to Christ this morning. So I'm going to give you that opportunity, and I want to pray for you. So in the house today, if you're here and you're saying, that's one of those categories of rest I need in my life, I want you to come as they begin to sing, and I want to pray for you this morning. We're going to invite you from the balcony, from the floor, from galleries. You simply, by coming, you're saying, I'm coming to his rest. I'm coming to Christ. You come. Lord, all throughout the scriptures, we see where you call people and you call them by name. And so, Lord, this morning, I believe you're calling men and women by name. Father, I pray there be none so foolish to say, Lord, later. That is what the children of Israel thought when they rejected the promised land. And you tell us that there's a a time, a moment of your calling, and that is so special that it may never happen again in our lives. And so I thank you, Lord, that you are calling and individuals are saying, yes, Lord. From your heart this morning, simply say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life from this moment on. I'm tired. I'm weary. I've been like the dove. There's been no place for my spirit to land. And I've been just kind of wandering about. I'm not sure where I really came from. I'm not sure what the plan is of why I'm on this planet. And I'm certainly unsure of where I'll spend eternity. And I'm tired of wandering like that. And so I give you my heart, my life today. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I relinquish all to you. Father, I pray that burdens would be lifted. And I pray, oh God, for those that are here at the altar today, that their coming represents, there's been just a lot of emotional weariness, heavy load of life. Lord, I pray that they would understand and know that while they're sleeping this afternoon or tonight, taking a nap, while we lie down, you're never asleep. And you're always behind the scenes working things for our ultimate good. And I pray, oh God, that the peace of God come on hearts, come on minds. Lord, I pray that emotions would respond to the sweet presence of God. Lord, we know that you can do more in 1 second than years of seeking out counsel, which is not a bad thing at all, but men can only help take us so far. And God, we're so absolutely appreciative of the fact that you love us so much that you would counsel us through difficult and hard times of life. And you would say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, I pray that you give wisdom and guidance and direction to those, Lord, that need that in their life right now. I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that are just, they're weary, they're worn. I pray, Lord, that you'd renew their strength. Lord, as they wait on you, you said that they'd rise up and that they would run and not be weary and walk and not faint. I ask, Lord, you give them that supernatural and numinous strength. Lord, I pray for those today that have had sleepless nights. I just pray, Lord, that they would have sweet rest at night. That would give them a brand new approach to the day. Lord, that they would have strength, vitality, and Lord, great joy as they face another day because they had rest at night. Just think about what you want to turn over to him right now. What is it that's been bugging you? What is it that's been just, you can't get away from it. It chases you down and captivates your thoughts over and over. I want you to leave it with him. He has rest for you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. The Lord God is with us. And the Lord is for us. Father, I thank you that we can live in that rest. Spiritually, our spirit can be at rest with God. Our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our emotions. Thank you, Lord, that we can have rest in our emotions. And Lord, we're so glad that when we go to bed at night, you've got it. It's your shift. And we wake up in the morning, it's still your shift. Help us, Lord, to turn things over and to leave them with you. Pray, oh God, your blessing to be upon each one throughout this day. Lord, for the very special time that we've set aside, we do believe, Lord, that the hands of the nation are in the hands of the church, God's people. Help us, Lord, to be praying our nation through this hour. And I pray, oh God, tonight to be a night of victory, Lord, for men and women, body, soul, and spirit. And what happens here this evening to have an effect upon our nation, our city, may the peace of God be released upon Milwaukee and upon every home and upon every life. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the church said, amen. We love you. Have a marvelous day in the Lord.